Peter Jennings. From Wikipedia, the free encyclopedia, at en.wikipedia.org. Peter Charles Archibald Ewart Jennings, C.M., July 29, 1938 to August 7, 2005, was a Canadian-American journalist and news anchor. He was the sole anchor of ABC's World News Tonight from 1983 until his death in 2005 of complications from lung cancer. A high school dropout, he transformed himself into one of television's most prominent journalists. Jennings started his career early, hosting a Canadian radio show at the age of 9. In 1965, ABC News taped him to anchor its flagship evening news program. His inexperience marred his first short stint in the anchor chair, and Jennings became a foreign correspondent in 1968, honing his reporting skills in the Middle East. He returned as one of World News Tonight's three anchors in 1978 and was promoted to the role of sole anchor in 1983. Jennings formed part of the Big Three news anchors who dominated American evening news in the 1980s and the 1990s. Having always been fascinated with the United States, Jennings became a dual citizen of Canada and the United States in 2003. His death, which closely followed the retirements of Tom Brokaw and Dan Rather, marked the end of the Big Three era. Section 1. Biography. Section 1.1. Early Life. Jennings was born in Toronto, Ontario. He and his younger sister Sarah were children of Elizabeth Osborne and Charles Jennings, a prominent radio broadcaster for the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, CBC. Peter Jennings started his broadcasting career at the age of 9, hosting Peter's People, a half-hour Saturday morning CBC radio show for kids. His father was on a business trip to the Middle East when the show debuted. Upon returning, Charles Jennings, who harbored a deep dislike of nepotism, was outraged to learn that the network had put his son on the air. When he was 11, Jennings started attending Trinity College School in Port Hope, Ontario, where he excelled in sports. After the CBC moved his father to its Ottawa headquarters in the early 1950s, Jennings transferred to Lisgar Collegiate Institute. He struggled academically, and Jennings later surmised that it was out of pure boredom that he failed the 10th grade and dropped out. "I loved girls," he said. "I loved comic books. And for reasons I don't understand, I was pretty lazy." Jennings then briefly attended Carleton University, where he says he lasted about 10 minutes before dropping out. Although Jennings dreamed of following in his father's footsteps in broadcasting, his first job was as a bank teller for the Royal Bank of Canada. He had hoped that the company would assign him to its Havana branch. Instead, it located him in the tiny town of Prescott, Ontario, before transferring him to its nearby Brockville branch. During this time, he explored acting by appearing in several amateur musical productions with the Orpheus Musical Theatre Society, including Damn Yankees and South Pacific. It was in Brockville that the 21-year-old Jennings started his meteoric rise in broadcasting. In 1959, CFJR, a local radio station, hired him as a member of its news department. Many of his stories, including his coverage of a local train wreck, were picked up by the CBC. By 1961, Jennings had joined the staff of CJOH-TV, then a new television station in Ottawa. When the station launched in March 1961, Jennings was initially an interviewer and co-producer of View, a late-night news program. His producers saw a youthful attractiveness in him that resembled that of Dick Clark, and Jennings soon found himself hosting Club 13, a dance show similar to American Bandstand. The next year, CTV, Canada's first private TV station and a fledgling competitor of his father's network, hired the 24-year-old Jennings as a co-anchor of its late-night national newscast. While reporting for CTV, he was the first Canadian journalist to arrive in Dallas after the assassination of President John F. Kennedy. In 1964, CTV sent Jennings to cover the Democratic National Convention in Atlantic City, New Jersey. There he ran into Elmer Lower, then president of ABC News, who offered him a job as a correspondent for the American network, an opportunity Jennings initially rejected. The job was pretty intimidating for a guy like me in a tiny city in Canada, Jennings later recalled. I thought, what if I screw up? What if I fail? 3 months later, though, he changed his mind and packed his bags for America. Section 1.2. America's Youngest Anchor. Jennings started reporting for ABC at its New York News Bureau. At the time, ABC lagged behind the more established news divisions of NBC and CBS, and the network was trying to attract younger viewers. On February 1, 1965, ABC plucked the fresh-faced Canadian from the field and placed him at the anchor desk of Peter Jennings with the news, then a 15-minute nightly newscast. He replaced Ron Cochran, a fellow Canadian. At 26, Jennings was and remains the youngest ever U.S. network news anchor. ABC was in bad shape at the time, Jennings said. They were willing to try anything, and to demonstrate the point, they tried me. An inexperienced Jennings had a hard time keeping up with his rivals at the other networks, and he could not compete with the venerable newscasts of Walter Cronkite at CBS and Chet Huntley and David Brinkley at NBC. American audiences disliked Jennings' Canadian English accent. He pronounced lieutenant as lieutenant, mangled the pronunciation of Appomattox, and misidentified the Marines' hymn as Anchors Away at Lyndon Johnson's presidential inauguration. His general ignorance of American affairs and culture led critics to deride Jennings as a glamourcaster. It was a little ridiculous when you think about it, he later reflected. A 26-year-old trying to compete with Cronkite, Huntley, and Brinkley? I was simply unqualified. After 3 rocky years at the anchor desk, Jennings called it quits and became a foreign correspondent. Section 1.3. Foreign Correspondent. Jennings was determined to build his journalism credentials abroad. In 1968, he established ABC's Middle East Bureau in Beirut, Lebanon, the first American television news bureau in the Arab world. The next year, he demonstrated his growing expertise in Middle Eastern affairs with Palestine, New State of Mind, a well-received half-hour documentary for ABC's Now News program. As ABC's Beirut Bureau chief, Jennings soon became familiar with the intricacies of the Arab-Israeli conflict, including the rise of the Palestinian Black September Organization during the early 1970s. He conducted the first American television interview with Palestine Liberation Organization chairman Yasser Arafat. While stationed in the Lebanese capital, Jennings dated Palestinian activist Hanan Ashrawi, who was then a graduate student in literature at American University in Beirut. In 1972, Jennings covered his first major breaking news story, the Munich Olympics massacre of Israeli athletes by Black September. His live reporting, which drew on the expertise he had acquired in the Middle East, provided context for Americans who were unfamiliar with the Palestinian group. By hiding with his camera crew close to the athletic compound where the Israeli athletes were being held hostage, Jennings was able to provide ABC with clear video of the masked hostage takers. He would later be criticized for insisting on using the terms guerrillas and commandos instead of terrorists to describe the members of Black September. After the events of Munich, Jennings continued to report on Middle East issues. In 1973, he covered the Yom Kippur War, and the following year, he served as chief correspondent and co-producer of Sadat, Action Biography, a profile of Egyptian President Anwar Sadat that would win him his first of two George Foster Peabody Awards. The documentary established Jennings as Sadat's favorite correspondent. That summer, Jennings married, for the second time, to Anochka Malouf, a Lebanese photographer. His first wife had been childhood sweetheart Valerie Godso. Jennings returned to the U.S. at the end of 1974 to become Washington correspondent and news anchor for ABC's new morning program, AM America, a predecessor to Good Morning America. ABC was hoping that the show, in which it had invested $8 million U.S., would challenge NBC's highly popular Today. AM America debuted on January 6, 1975, with Jennings delivering regular 5-minute newscasts from Washington. The show never gained ground against Today and was canceled in just 10 months. In November 1975, Jennings moved abroad once again, this time as ABC's chief foreign correspondent. He continued to cover the Middle East, and in 1978, he was the first American reporter to interview the Ayatollah Khomeini of Iran, then in exile in Paris. Meanwhile, ABC News and its newly installed president, Rune Arledge, were preparing an overhaul of its nightly news program, whose ratings had languished in third place behind CBS and NBC since its inception. In the late 1970s, a disastrous pairing of Harry Reasoner and Barbara Walters at the anchor desk left the network searching for new ideas. Arledge decided to implement a three-anchor format for the program. On July 10, 1978, World News Tonight debuted with Frank Reynolds in Washington, Max Robinson in Chicago, and Jennings in London. Jennings' official title was Foreign Desk Anchor, although he continued to serve as the network's chief foreign correspondent. By the summer of 1979, the innovative broadcast, which featured some of the same glitzy presentation as Arledge's previous television coup, Wide World of Sports, had climbed in the ratings. The newscast had gained 1.9 million households from its debut and was now in a dead heat with NBC's evening newscast. Jennings also found renewed success in his personal life. In 1979, he married for the third time to fellow ABC correspondent Katie Martin. The same year, he became a father when Martin gave birth to their daughter, Elizabeth. In 1982, Jennings and Martin's second child, Christopher, was born. As part of ABC's triumvirate, Jennings continued to cover major international news, especially Middle East issues. His nightly appearance at an anchor desk in London gave the impression that ABC News was more dedicated to foreign news than the other networks. Jennings reported on the Iranian Revolution and subsequent hostage crisis, the assassination of Sadat, the Falklands War, Israel's 1982 invasion of Lebanon, and Pope John Paul II's 1983 visit to Poland. His insistence on covering the major international stories himself irked some of his fellow ABC foreign correspondents, who came to resent being scooped by what they deemed as Jennings' flying circus. Jennings, too, was not completely satisfied with his job in London. When his contract expired with ABC in the early 1980s, Jennings flirted with the possibility of moving back to Canada and working with the CBC on its new nightly newscast, The Journal. The CBC could not meet Jennings' renegotiation deadlines, and the deal fell through. Section 1.4. Sole Anchor. In 1983, Reynolds fell ill with multiple myeloma, a form of bone cancer, and was forced to stop anchoring in April. His absence caused a dip in the ratings for ABC's nightly newscast. ABC originally expected a full recovery and relocated Jennings to its Washington bureau to fill in for Reynolds while he was sick. The move helped buoy the newscast's ratings, although it remained in third place. On July 20, 1983, Reynolds died unexpectedly after developing acute hepatitis. On August 9, 1983, ABC announced that Jennings had signed a four-year contract with the network and would become the sole anchor and senior editor for World News Tonight on September 5. Jennings would anchor the program from New York City, the program's new base of operations. The announcement signaled a generational shift in the evening news broadcasts and the beginning of what the media would deem the Big Three era of Jennings, Dan Rather of CBS, and Tom Brokaw of NBC. Rather had already been elevated to anchor in 1981 after the retirement of Walter Cronkite, and Brokaw of NBC Nightly News was set to become sole anchor the same day as Jennings. At the time, Jennings expressed apprehension that the impending competition among the three newsmen was at risk of becoming superficial. With me, Brokaw, and Rather, I recognize that there will be the factor of three pretty faces, he said. That's an inevitable byproduct of television. But if that is what it comes down to in terms of the approach we take, if our approach is that singular, then we will all have made a mistake. Jennings' debut on September 5, 1983, marked the beginning of a steady climb in ratings for ABC News. He spent his first year at the anchor desk educating himself on American domestic affairs in preparation for the 1984 presidential campaign season. In June 1984, Jennings, who later admitted that his political knowledge was limited at the time, co-anchored ABC's coverage of the Democratic National Convention with David Brinkley. I had not covered an election campaign in 16 years, Jennings said. So here was I going to co-anchor with David Brinkley in 1984, and he wasn't even sure I knew who the faces belonged to, and he was right. Jennings and ABC were criticized for suddenly halting coverage of the convention for 30 minutes and airing a rerun of Heart to Heart instead. Despite a shaky start at the anchor desk, Jennings' broadcast began to climb in the ratings. Jennings was praised for his performance during the 1986 Space Shuttle Challenger disaster, when he anchored ABC's coverage of the event for 11 straight hours. By 1989, competition among the three nightly newscasters had risen to fever pitch. When the Loma Prieta earthquake struck the San Francisco Bay Area, media pundits praised Jennings and ABC News for their prompt on-air response, while criticizing the delayed reaction of Tom Brokaw and NBC News. The next month, Brokaw redeemed himself by scooping the other networks with news of the fall of the Berlin Wall. It was World News Tonight, however, that ended the year at the top. ABC's evening newscast spent the last 13 weeks of the year in first place, and its average ratings for the entire year beat CBS for the first time. Jennings' on-air success continued in 1990, and World News Tonight consistently led the ratings race. In January, he anchored the first installment of Peter Jennings' reporting. Hour-long primetime ABC News specials dedicated to exploring a single topic. His inaugural program on gun violence in America drew praise. His second installment of Peter Jennings' reporting in April, From the Killing Fields, focused on U.S. policy towards Cambodia. The program alleged that the government was covertly supporting the Khmer Rouge's return to power in the Asian nation, a charge that the Bush administration initially denied. On July 18th, though, the White House announced that it was ending recognition of the Khmer Rouge. When the Gulf War started on January 16, 1991, Jennings began a marathon anchoring stint to cover the story, spending 20 of the first 48 hours of the war on air, and leading ABC News to its highest ratings ever. After interrupting regular Saturday morning cartoons on January 19th to broadcast a military briefing from Saudi Arabia, Jennings and ABC became concerned about the emotional impact of war coverage on children. Out of that concern, Jennings hosted a 90-minute special, War in the Gulf, Answering Children's Questions, the next Saturday morning. The program featured Jennings, ABC correspondents, and American military personnel answering phoned-in questions and explaining the war to young viewers. On October 13, 1991, breaking news forced ABC News to interrupt regular Saturday morning programming as well. Jennings once again, mindful of his audience, prefacing the coverage of the Senate confirmation hearings for Supreme Court nominee Clarence Thomas with remarks for children. "You may hear some not very nice language," said Jennings. He noted that Thomas and his accuser, Anita Hill, have a very painful disagreement about some things the woman says the man did to her when they were working together. You can ask your parents to tell you more. Jennings continued to produce special programs aimed at young viewers, anchoring Growing Up in the Age of AIDS, a frank 90-minute-long discussion on AIDS in February 1992, and Prejudice, answering children's questions, a forum on racism, in April 1992. Politics dominated network news in 1992. Jennings moderated the first debate among the Democratic presidential candidates in March and anchored Peter Jennings reporting Who is Ross Perot? And a subsequent 90-minute town forum with Perot and a studio audience in June. On September 9, 1992, ABC announced that it would be switching the format of its political coverage to give less recognition to staged soundbites. We're aware that a lot of you are turned off by the political process and that many of you put at least some of the blame on us, Jennings told viewers on World News Tonight. We'll only devote time to a candidate's daily routine if it is more than routine. There will be less attention to staged appearances and sound bites designed exclusively for television. After Bill Clinton was elected as president in November 1992, Jennings featured the new administration in two of his specials for children. He anchored President Clinton, Answering Children's Questions, in February 1993, and Kids in the Crossfire, Violence in America, in November 1993, a live special from a Washington, D.C. junior high school, which featured Attorney General Janet Reno and rapper MC Lyte. The early 1990s also served up a series of rough patches for Jennings. On August 13, 1993, Jennings and Katie Martin publicly announced their separation in Newsday. The couple had previously split in 1987 for 4 months after Jennings found out that Martin was having an affair with Washington Post columnist Richard Cohen. In January 1994, he locked horns with his executive producer on World News Tonight, Emily Rooney. The public firing of Rooney made national headlines and put Jennings on the defensive. With the rise of media watchdog groups, such as Conservative Media Research Center, MRC, Jennings came under increasing scrutiny for his biases. The anchor drew fire from conservatives, such as the MRC and Cal Thomas, for his November 14, 1994 remarks on ABC Radio, in which he analyzed the results of the 1994 U.S. midterm elections. "Some thoughts on those angry voters. Ask parents of any 2-year-old and they could tell you about those temper tantrums, the stomping feet, the rolling eyes, the screaming," said Jennings. "Imagine a nation full of uncontrolled 2-year-old rage. The voters had a temper tantrum last week. Parenting and governing don't have to be dirty words. The nation can't be run by an angry 2-year-old. A July 1995 documentary, P. Peter Jennings reporting Hiroshima why the bomb was dropped, which aired a week before the 50th anniversary of the atomic bombing of Hiroshima, also drew scorn from conservatives and some television critics, who called the program a revisionist look at the decision to drop the bomb. Some viewers of the documentary mailed bus fare to Jennings, telling him to return to Canada. He pleased some conservatives, though. After his three-year lobbying effort to create a full-time religion correspondent at ABC News, succeeded in the hiring of Peggy Waymayer in January 1994, making her the first such network reporter. ABC increased its coverage of religious topics, and in March 1995 he anchored Peter Jennings' reporting In the Name of God, a well-received documentary on the changing nature of American churches. At a taping of a town meeting segment for KOMO-TV of Seattle in February 1995, Jennings expressed regret for his ABC radio remarks on the 1994 midterm elections. "People thought I had insulted their sacred mandate, and some thought I should go back to Canada," he said. "I hope I don't make that mistake again." During the mid-1990s, television critics praised Jennings for his insistence on not letting the O.J. Simpson murder case swamp the newscast. Instead, Jennings devoted his energies to covering the war in Bosnia and Herzegovina, anchoring three-hour-long primetime specials on the subject, and one Saturday morning special aimed at children. ABC dedicated more time to covering the conflict than any other network from 1992 to 1996. Jennings received the Goldsmith Career Award for Excellence in Journalism from the Kennedy School of Government at Harvard University, in large part for his passion for this story. Jennings was also credited for raising the profile in the U.S. of another international story, the 1995 Quebec referendum. The Canadian press, in particular, raved about his in-depth coverage of the issue, and he was the only anchor to broadcast from Canada on the eve of the referendum. Despite these critical successes in 1996, World News Tonight started gradually slipping in the ratings race. Bolstered by strong viewership of its coverage of the 1996 Summer Olympic Games, NBC's nightly news overtook the ABC newscast for 2 weeks in late July and early September. This short bump provided momentum for NBC, which started making steady gains in the ratings. Worried, Jennings and ABC decided to cut back on international reporting and give more airtime to soft stories in an effort to emulate the success of nightly news. The changes provoked a backlash from regular viewers, and ratings plummeted. "We did very badly with it," Jennings said. "The audience kicked us in the teeth." Although changes were made to World News Tonight to restore its luster and stop the hemorrhaging, nightly news ended 1997 as the number one evening newscast. The slide in the ratings coincided with some rockiness at ABC News. The company scrapped plans to develop a cable news channel. On March 6, 1997, ABC announced that David Weston would be taking over as president of its news division for Rune Arledge in June 1998. Both denied that the disappointing ratings performance of World News Tonight contributed to their decision. A 24-hour strike by the National Association of Broadcast Employees and Technicians disrupted ABC's coverage of 1998's November elections after talks between the union and ABC broke down. Several Democratic candidates denied interviews to support the union, forcing Jennings to explain to viewers why ABC was not interviewing Democrats. None of the shakeups helped Jennings retake the nightly ratings crown, but World News Tonight still offered stiff competition at second place. As the millennium approached, Jennings and the network started preparing for extensive retrospectives of the 20th century. The anchor teamed with former Life magazine journalist Todd Brewster to pen The Century, a 606-page book on 20th century America, designed as a companion book for ABC's upcoming documentary series of the same name. The book topped the New York Times bestseller list in December 1998, a month after it debuted. On March 29, 1999, Jennings anchored the first installment of ABC's 12-hour miniseries, The Century. Production on the monumental project started in 1990, and by the time it aired, it had cost the network $25 million. Jennings also anchored a longer 15-hour version, The Century America's Time, on the History Channel on April 1999. On December 31, 1999, Jennings was on the air for 23 straight hours to anchor ABC 2000 Today, ABC's massive Millennium Eve special. An estimated 175 million people tuned into at least a portion of the program. Jennings' American primetime audience, an estimated 18.6 million viewers, easily outpaced the millennium coverage of rival networks. Television critics praised the program and described the anchor as superhuman. Although production costs totaled a hefty $11 million, compared with $2 million each for NBC's and CBS's Millennium projects, ABC managed to make a profit of $5 million. The success of the program, though, failed to transfer into any lasting change in the viewership of World News Tonight. ABC's evening newscast spent the first week of January as ratings leader before dropping back to second place.